Hello, everybody. Welcome to the TGE Place podcast. I'm your host, Corey. And with me, like always, is James and Josh. How's it going, guys?
Hello, everybody. How are we doing?
What's up?
Did you guys have a good weekend and stuff?
Yeah, I did a whole lot of nothing. It was great.
Yeah, finally, I had 2 days off in a row, so that was nice.
Dude, oh, that's a mood.
2 days makes a lot of difference.
Not having, like, 2 days in a row off is so crappy. Like,
ugh, oh, gosh, gross. That's almost all the time. But, like, that first night's brutal, of rest man. After, like, knowing I have the next day off, it's just like, oh, this is so nice.
Well, you just feel like you never get anything done when you only have a day off. It's like, oh, let's go back to work.
Yeah,
that's no good.
So today we're going to be talking about the new cowboy set, Outlaws of Thunder Junction. So we got all the outlaws and everything going on. I'm pretty pumped for the set. It looks cool.
Yeah, the set looks sick. Definitely.
We're going to be talking about the rares and mythics in Wooburg order, and we're just going to talk about Wooburg on today's show. We're going to make a second episode for the multicolored cards, and just the rares and mythics, and skipping reprints. And before we get into all that, a couple ways you can support the podcast is directly right over on Patreon. Sign up for all sorts of different tier levels and get cool perks, like playing Commander games with us. You can also just hit the subscribe and follow button on the YouTube video, or Spotify, or wherever you listen to this. And lastly, you can click our TCG Player affiliate link if you want to buy any of these cards. It's in the show notes, and it lets them know that we sent you over there. It helps support the show. All right, so James, you want to start us off?
All right. So, starting with white as usual, we have our first card. It's called Another Round. It is double X, two, and a white. So, it's a sorcery. Exile any number of creatures you control, then return them to the battlefield under their owner's control, then repeat this process X more times. And remember, you have to pay double for each one trigger, basically, in this case.
This is sick. It's
so
not
this
an
is
instant,
Blink City, baby.
You can't protect yourself from, like, board wipes or anything. Well, they wouldn't do that anyway if it was a instant, because it would resolve.
Right.
No, it wouldn't work for that, but something like Brago or any other ETB matters, this is just broken.
But is it expensive for what it does? Like, you're paying five just to do it one time, right?
Yeah.
I guess you do it twice.
Yeah. So three for once. Depends on how big your board is. Is Ephemerate just better? Do you only have, like, one creature, like one Muldrifter to do it?
Yeah. Well, because you got to remember, this hits the entire board.
Yeah, but I mean,
and it's any number of things you want to do.
Yorin
doesn't do cost five, it hits the whole board. I guess this would hit it twice. Right.
This would be twice for five.
What's nice with flickers is that, like Muldrifter, for example, you invoke it, and then you flicker it on its evoke step, so you keep the creature, get the double, so you can't really do that with this. Might be too slow, but maybe in the right deck.
Interesting. Yeah, I love feels, to see it.
Like, it feels like it's good, but it's I feel like it's a kind of a win more, because if you have that much stuff on the board to flicker, you're probably ahead anyway.
I mean, you probably are, depending on what they are, of course. But hard to say. I definitely want to see this.
Definitely, like, you could put it in a flicker deck if you just want a shit ton of triggers at once.
Yeah, this would be really good for. Yeah, like something like a Brago deck, basically, or a Slime Closet deck, something like that. This could be really good in that, possibly.
All right, we got the Aven Interpreter up next. One white for 2/2 bird rogue with flash flying. And when he enters the battlefield, exile target spell. It becomes plotted. So plotted's a new keyword. Its owner may cast it as a sorcery on a later turn without paying its mana cost. Then spells your opponents cast from graveyards or from exile cost 2 more to cast.
Yeah,
this is really interesting here.
You can only plot as a sorcery speed.
Yep.
So this hoses counterspells. If you like make their counterspell become plotted, they're like, it's just worthless. They can't ever do it unless they're going to counter their, or they're going to do sorcery speeds. They can't even counter their own thing. Like,
no, yeah, they can't do anything.
That's brutal for instance. Jesus. Yeah. I love how, yeah, this is kind of a play on the old Aven Mind Sensor. Like, it's kind of a similar deal, similar kind of flavor. But does a different thing that's just could be almost as devastating depending on what you might hit with it.
I mean, hitting target spell, you can hit everything. Everything.
Yeah, I mean, then, just hitting their six drop and making them have to pay eight for it.
Yeah. Yep. And then, the two more to cast, like, oh.
Yeah.
That's rough, man.
Anything that makes them have to, like, as additional cost, you got to sacrifice creature hitting their, like, I don't know, natural order. They sacked their creature already. Yeah. They don't get it. They have to sack another one.
Or like Harrow or something like that.
Yes.
Like, you slacked your land. It's gone. Oops.
This is going to be a playmaker, I think.
This is a good card. This is really, really good.
Plus, it's basically a rogue, so it's an outlaw.
Ooh, yeah. Uh-oh. Love
that. It's like rogue White Venser, but honestly kind of better because he's cheaper. And the two or more to cast is super good.
I'm pretty happy to see double white pip. I mean, yes, that's a downside, but I don't like universally good cards like, oh, Fierce Guardianship goes into every single deck. Cyclonic Rift, one blue. It's so easy to fit
every single deck. Yeah.
This makes you need to be like mono white or two colors to really like,
like Sleznia or something like that.
So I like the downside of it being too white.
For sure.
All right, next up we have Claim Jumper. Is 2 and a white for a 3/3 rabbit mercenary with vigilance. When it enters the battlefield, if an opponent controls more lands than you, you search your library for a plains card, put it out of the battlefield tapped. Then if an opponent controls more lands than you, repeat this process once. If you search your library this way, shuffle.
Interesting, okay.
Double ramp.
Double ramp,
yeah. It's a more expensive Weathered Wayfarer, but it triggers twice.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a 3-mana 3/3 vigilance, too.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, that's pretty decent.
It's also a rabbit, so watch out for the next set, Bloomburrow.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a mercenary, so it's an outlaw.
Nope.
Heck yeah.
I just want to say, most of these cards are going to be bombs and limited anyway, so we're thinking more commander at the moment.
Yep. Yeah, this is really good. Good white ramp.
Kind of like, you know? It's kind of like a white cultivate.
Yeah, kind of. As long as you're behind, at least.
Yeah.
There just needs to be one cost. Green player.
Yep.
there's always a green player.
There's always a green player.
Someone's ramping. You'll probably get it. yeah, that card's cool though. I like this one a lot, honestly. All right, next up we have Dust Animus. It is 1 and a white for a 2/3 spirit creature. It has flying. If you control 5 or more untapped lands, Dust Animus enters the battlefield with 2+1/+1 counters and a lifelink counter on it. Then it has plot 1 and a white.
Yeah, so the easy play pattern is just pay 2 and then wait till turn 5 and play it before you play anything else.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what you'll want to do.
Or you could just do it on turn 7.
Yeah. Or if you have mana rocks or any other way.
And then it becomes what? A 2-mana 4/5
with lifelink? Yeah, with lifelink. Kind of like a Sarah Angel way. This doesn't seem good in commander, but it's going to be 5 out of 5 limited all-star bomb. You win everything.
Yeah, it's so good.
This, if you open up in packs and limited, you're going to win.
Yeah, it's just going to be a freaking, what is that, 4/5 with lifelink and flying. Oh, dear god.
That's, I don't see super, it in commander super though good. I don't know.
Yeah, commander might be harder.
It's not a horrible commander.
No.
Yeah, it's
especially if you're like green white and you're just ramping, like.
Right. Yeah. I mean, having 5 or more untapped lands in those colors is usually.
If you have like a spirit deck, it's a spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a spirit too, and a pretty
changelings are spirits.
That's true.
That doesn't matter too much.
Yeah, that's an interesting card. Yeah, really good for limited, though. Holy crap. That's going to be a bomb.
All right, we'll move on to the final showdown.
Da-na-na.
Close enough. One white, instant, and their new card, Spree. Choose one or more additional costs. Each of these are an additional mana, then you get the thing. So plus one mana, all creatures lose all abilities till end of turn. Or choose plus one a mana, choose a creature you control, it gains indestructible until end of turn. And then plus three white, destroy all creatures. Instant speed.
Instant speed for six?
Instant speed Wrath God? Not no longer terrible.
That's basically what a route is.
Yeah.
I think it's two extra if I remember right.
Yeah.
Two mana for one creature being indestructible is just kind of, it's okay, I guess. Yeah. I guess you can do it more times.
You could pay the same as route like seven and you blow up everything, keeping your best creature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You could do that.
I like the thing, all creatures lose all abilities until end of turn.
Yeah, that's kind of a nifty combat trick, I feel like. Someone swings you all out or something. You're like, all right, they lose all abilities and start blocking.
My first thought was they lose indestructible, so now you can actually kill them.
Mm-hmm.
It's also like Dressdown. Dressdown has been really good. Someone plays their Thassa's Oracle, and on the stack of that, you just say it loses all abilities. Thoracle does nothing
right
as it comes in. You just stop their win con.
Yeah, like they're just hosed at that point. I mean, with heroic intervention being a thing, paying two just for one creature being indestructible doesn't feel quite as good, but the fact that this is a white card.
No, you're going to want to use it for either the first mode or the last mode.
I think the first or last is probably what you're going to go for.
But it has that flexibility, which is amazing.
Yeah, the flexibility is really... That's what's really cool about these Spree cards is they are super flexible.
The other weird thing is technically the mana cost of this card is one. So if you have like search for your library for an instant that costs one, you can get
so this. You can grab better. This. Hellseeker's so good now.
Yeah. It works so well with these cards. Because a lot of them are super cheap.
I think they're all one.
They're like all like one. There's maybe a couple two.
There's a couple that's two. Okay.
But yeah, I don't think they're much more than that though. So yeah. Yeah, these are interesting.
All right. Next up we got Fortune, the Loyal Steed. So it's a 3-mana 2/4 legendary creature beast mount. When it enters the battlefield, you scry two, and then a mount has this new ability called saddle. So you have to tap a creature with power, kind of like crew, to make it saddled. And then usually they have an ability that triggers when they attack while saddled, but sometimes it's other things. But this says, whenever it attacks while saddled, at the end of combat, exile it, and up to one target creature that's saddled with this turn, they return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control. So you get to flicker this and whatever saddle it, get the scry to, and whatever other ETB you want.
Cool. So that could honestly combo with, depending on what you got. You got something like Flicker Wisp or, you know, something else like that, and you just start just flickering everything.
Just Ball Drifter. Just draw more cards.
Yeah, or yeah, more Ball Drifter is always good, too.
Always Ball Drifter. That seems good. Low cost, good rate by itself.
What's cool, it's a 3-mana 2/4 that scries to by itself. If you
eat that's a pretty good effect, honestly, just on its own.
And instead of being a vehicle, it's actually a creature. It can just block and attack.
It can actually do shit.
You don't have
to
saddle it ever. It saddles just if you want that other ability.
That's the really nice thing. Like, that's the thing about vehicles is like they're usually like cheap costing like powerful things, but you always have to have something to like make it do anything. Even block, and it's just like, ugh. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah, not with this, though, which is pretty nice.
Dodging board wipes is like a real good upside, but other than that, mounts are going to be way better.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Moving on, our next card is High Noon. One and a white for an enchantment. Each player can't cast more than one spell each turn. Ouch for blue players or storm players. Then you can also pay four and a mountain, sacrifice this. It deals 5 damage to any target.
Yeah, so I mean,
it's a 2-mana. Isn't there a 1-mana card that does this?
It's non-creature spells, though.
Oh, okay.
That one is.
Yeah, so this is everything, basically.
The normal one is 2-mana, I think.
So this just tacks on like a lava axe.
Yeah, you got a lava axe. You can spend it anytime, I guess.
I mean, you do that when you want to cast more than one spell. So
yeah,
right.
Does cost a lot, but
yeah, so lava axe is not a good card.
At least you can hit something else if you don't want to hit a player with this.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's okay. I don't know if you got a lot of people that try and cast double spell. I guess it's good.
It's yeah,
kind of like a sideboardy card.
Yeah, it's like a sideboard for like a storm combo deck, something like that. Maybe someone's like,
so you need to stuff. You need to know that your commander play group does, you know, the double spelling.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is a very more niche card, I would say. It's not going to work against every deck.
You have to be playing Boros or more colors.
Yeah. I still think it's really good. I think, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's control.
It's better. It's way better constructed, like, than it is in commander. Like, just playing in, like, standard or something.
Yeah, this is pretty decent for standard. Commanders, I think it really depends.
CEDH is different.
Yeah, it'd be good in CEDH, too.
CEDH, this is bonkers. I don't know. Do we need to do the obligatory? It's High Noon. All right, we got one last job. 2 and a white for another spree sorcery. Okay, this one's a 3-drop. +2, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield.
That's
plus
pretty good.
+1. That's pretty good. It doesn't have a finality counter.
Yeah.
Return target mount or vehicle card from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Even better. Sick. Okay.
+1. Return target aura or equipment card from your graveyard to the battlefield attached to a creature you control.
Damn, that's really good. These are all really good effects.
And you can do all 3 at once?
Yeah, as long as you have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 mana.
Yeah. And you need all three cards.
I feel you're going to need to at least play all, at least like the ability to use all these modes for you to want this card.
Yeah.
Because like 5 mana, bring a creature back, like you could just play, you know, Breath of Life or whatever.
Yeah.
Resurrection.
Dread Return or something.
Resurrection is like from Alpha.
Is it?
It's an old card.
Yeah, but it's 2 white, bring a creature back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that it costs 1 less. But I mean, if you're playing mounts or vehicles, you might play it just for the.
Yeah,
it's cheap.
That's 4 mana, bring a creature back. But I mean, I feel like if you have an aura or equipment in your deck, a mount and or a vehicle, you obviously probably have creatures. So if you have the possibility to hit all 3 for 7 mana, that, or even, you know, 6 mana for 2 of them, then it becomes great.
Yeah, well, especially if you're like returning like an equipment and you can equip it to the creature. Just imagine, like, oh, I'm gonna bring back my batter skull and equip it to something, and I don't have to pay fucking like 7 for that or whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah,
attaching, like, on top of bringing it back from the freaking graveyard, or like a sword, or you know, because that would be 5 mana to attach to something. So, or to play and attach to something.
I'm gonna bring back my Colossus Hammer you blew up.
Oh,
Colossus Hammer.
Well, hey, it gets around the equipped cost of like.
It does. It does do that. Like, yeah, like I feel like for like especially aura or equipment decks, this is like super good because you're getting around that equip cost, especially if it's like high cost stuff. That's why you usually play Stormforge or something like that, because you know you sneak it in that, or you cheat it, you know, that way. This is basically another way to do that. But like, if, you know, if someone happened to blow it up, then You bring it back, and it's attached. You don't have to worry about that. So I don't know. I think it's pretty good.
The flavor is pretty on point too. It's just like, come, you're coming back, dude. You thought you were done in the graveyard.
One more time.
One last job.
Yep.
You never end as a criminal.
That's right.
All right, next up, right. We're on to blue.
We're on to blue.
So we got Archmage Newt. It's one and a blue for a 2/2 Salamander mount. When it deals combat damage to a player, target instant or sorcery card in your graveyard gains flashback until end of turn. The flashback cost is equal to its mana cost. That card gains flashback 0 until end of turn instead if Archmage Newt is saddled.
So you learn to play it for freaking free?
Yep.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, so you do have to hit a player, though. But
yep.
And tap something with 3 power.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a 2/2. You got to slide on through.
Yeah, but this is blue we're talking about. There's ways to make stuff unblockable.
I mean, if you have like Whisper Silk in your deck and stuff.
Whisper Silk, yeah.
Like not this Cryptic can... Code, unless you get this off of Cryptic Code.
Yeah, what? You could.
the new coat.
I think this is really good, honestly. Like, Snapcaster Flashback Mage, 0, like that's super
it's Snapcaster Mage you can keep doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's a 0 cost one if he can saddle it, which is even because we all know how good Snap is. Snap is super good, and this basically takes that to another level. As long as you're able to meet those requirements, which I don't think that's too hard to do.
Only there's downside always... is you have to do it like on your turn after hitting a player. It's not like Snap where you can just flash it in and then
counter spell. Yeah. You can't do counter spell.
Yeah,
but if you have like big old stuff. That's
good with expropriate or extra turn spells.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimatum.
Like Temporal Mastery or some shit. Like, huh, I'll do the extra turn. Yeah.
Peer to
I'm
the
not
going to
pay 10 for it or whatever it is. I'm going to pay 0.
In Commander, there's always someone open. You know, someone's not playing a creature. You got to hit somebody.
Yeah, you're able to figure that out. I don't know. I could see this definitely being pretty good. All right, our next card we got is Double Down. It is 3 and a blue for an enchantment. Whenever you cast an outlaw spell, copy that spell. So and outlaws are assassins, mercenaries, pirates, rogues, warlocks. And then the copy
and changelings.
Yeah, technically.
the best alibi is being in multiple places at the same time.
So this
you
just
can double all your outlaws. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's almost like a blue parallel lives.
Non-legendary ones.
Yeah. Blue parallel lives, basically, but for assassins.
Imagine having parallel lives with this.
Yeah, there you go. Parallel lives with this. You get
God. Double. Ooh, that's gross.
You only get one extra.
You get one extra because it doubles the token, not the.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Target play.
I don't know all the assassins and mercenaries, pirates, rogues, warlocks, but there's got to be something pretty crazy to do this.
I would think so.
I'm going to copy my royal assassin.
Okay. Yeah.
That's not that good.
I mean, in just a tribal deck, too. Yeah, you're just playing assassins. This is decent.
Yeah, this is good. Super good for that. I guess
you just have a pirate deck already. Like pirate decks are a thing.
Yeah, pirate decks are definitely a thing. Yeah, and some of them are pretty good. So
the rogues actually are pretty good too because a lot of them are not legendary. They're like unblockable 1/1s and just getting an extra one.
Yeah, and like the rogues are that is a deck and a very good one too, if I remember right. So
pre-card and like Zendikar Rising or something. One of those. So it's around that time.
All right,
yep,
I guess.
Yep.
Duelist of the Mind. 1 and a blue for a *3 human advisor. He has flying and vigilance. Duelist of the Mind's power is equal to the number of cards you've drawn this turn. Whenever you commit a crime, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. This ability only triggers once each turn. So committing a crime is you targeting any of your opponent's permanents or things in their graveyard.
Yeah. Basically, you target anything.
Or their face.
Yeah. Targeting anything that's not you.
I'm pretty sure you could target their face, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard from Morrow, I was listening to his podcast, but like all of the things that say whenever you commit a crime and does something, they usually are going to say this ability triggers only once each turn, because there's some things that like are zero mana, you can cheese just targeting something. I think there's this like zero mana prevent the next one damage to like one of your opponents.
Yeah.
So then you can just commit a crime every single turn. So you can do this on your opponent's turn. There's some weird cards. So
yeah, they definitely added that, because otherwise there'd be like a lot of infinite loops.
It would be just gross. Yeah.
But still with that,
they knew like, what they were doing.
Turn, you can loot on my turn, on Corey's turn, I'll loot again. On James's turn, I'm going to loot again. So there's some power that you can
this
have.
Could still get out of hand. Like if you just have like Force Fruition or something. It's just like keep casting spells with an attack for a bajillion.
Mm-hmm.
Could be good.
It looks like this is Nathan Stewart's card from the World Championship.
Mm-hmm.
It's got flying in it already. Like that's
Flying even... Vigilance. For two it's a two drop.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's a two drop that is at minimum gonna be a 1/3 Flying Vigilance every turn. So
yeah. It'll at least be a 1/3. You could probably make it a 2/3 pretty easily, because obviously, as we were saying, we're all criminals because we commit a crime every single time we play Magic. So that's not hard to do.
I guess he doesn't block well. He'll be a 0/3 whenever you're blocking.
Well, unless you have any way to instant speed draw.
Something. A little surprise. Yeah. Oop, Brainstorm. He's a 3/3.
Yeah, Brainstorm. Oops. Which has divination on your turn.
That's a sorcery.
This can be tricky.
Divination?
Divination sucks then. It's a sorcery?
It always has sucked.
Well, no wonder I don't play it. What's the instant one? Did they make an instant one recently?
I think so. Yeah. Divinations were like so long ago.
Yeah, that's old.
Flip. Mr. Corey.
Oh, it's me?
Yeah, always
you. I thought it was James.
Nope, right. It is you.
Flip. I can't even pronounce his name ever. Lost on the Range. They had a deck box with this cool art on it at MagicCon Chicago.
Ooh, nice.
Flipple Flip's a huge icon.
So one blue for a 1/1 Lizard Creature Homunculus. He's back and he's in the OS. He's got Ward 2. You may look at the top card of your library at any time. The top card of your library has Plot. The Plot cost is equal to its mana cost. You may plot non-land cards from the top of your library. So you cast stuff from the top of your deck by plotting them.
It's kind of cool.
You got to reveal the plot, right?
Anything plotted is face up, so your opponent knows it's coming. Okay.
Not like, I pay 3 mana. Oops, it's a 7 drop.
No, yeah, it's anything plotted is face up, because it just goes to exile, and exile is always public knowledge. It's not like a foretell where it says to exile it face down. So.
Yeah. Well, you can maybe play, I'm thinking on top of my head, like a Cheerios deck. Like a bunch of zero drop artifacts. You're just digging through your deck. Plot, 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 plot.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the next turn, you just have like your whole deck in
play. Storm, Superstorm, Aetherflux right before.
Just go crazy. Yeah, it's going to be kind of funny for that.
I mean, it's also good if you just have no cards in your hand, right? Like,
oh yeah,
it's super using good your mana for something on your turn.
Oh yeah, this pseudo card draw.
Yeah.
I mean, that if you're looking for that being plotted, you can't cast that card the turn you do it. Like you need to literally wait the next turn, so that kind of sucks. But I mean, you're using your mana. Yeah, it's almost card draw.
But then like, your next, you're basically just making it so your next turn is way better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know.
It's nice if you have like a double spell deck too, because you can plot something and the next turn cast the plotted thing and then cast a card from your hand and then you get the trigger cast two
you're
spells.
You're kind of, you're guaranteeing that you have two to cast.
So also thinking about that for limited reasons, like plot is usually like two spells. Going back on High Noon, you can only cast one spell each turn. It's right. Getting kind of more better.
Yeah, definitely it is really good. Yeah.
You know, people
this will be a bomb in limited just because it's free cards to cast. Oh, yeah. Like,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it has ward too, so they can't just kill it right away.
Yeah, the ward's really nice. Definitely. Super good for that.
It's in the running for best artwork, right?
Yeah, that art's really cool.
He's in a bad place, man. I think he's a little lost. Like, there's...
He's got his family like dragons around him and shit. And there's like things looking like they're coming to eat him.
You do not want to be in that spot, my dude.
No,
nope,
it's not a good spot. All right.
Well, he's lost on the range. So, like, where am I?
That's true. Speaking of cool artwork, this next one definitely has some pretty sick looking artwork, too. We have Geralf the Flesh Rite. He is 2 and a blue for a 2/3 legendary human warlock creature, so he is an outlaw. Whenever you cast a spell during your turn, other than your first spell that turn, create a 2/2 blue and black zombie rogue creature token. Whenever a zombie enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on it for each other zombie that entered the battlefield under your control this turn as a 2/3.
So this is where you could plot and set up a massive turn. Yeah,
this could just go. This can just explode, man. Like, holy crap.
Thinking like Gravecrawler shenanigans. You just keep sacking the Gravecrawler over and over. I did it like 4 times, and the next one I played, they get 5. Counters on it.
Yeah. It's like, oops, now it's big.
Well, and every single time you cast it, you'll be getting a 2/2 zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's, or it is. Every time I'm reading it as just the first spell. But
no, other than anything the first. Past the first, you get a 2/2 zombie.
Yeah.
This can be abused.
Yeah, this will definitely be. This is an engine for any kind of storm based deck. Yeah, in a way.
I mean, it's good just in zombie tribal decks too. Like,
mm-hmm. Yep, because zombie decks are generally pretty cheap costing cards. So, yeah, like this synergizes very nicely.
Yeah, so I'll
for sure.
Gravecrawler, Rooftop Storm. I mean, once you have Gravecrawler combo, you really don't need anything to really win. This is just another way.
It's another way to pull it off. But yeah, this will definitely do it though.
Yeah. Seems exciting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who all loves Jace being in their sets? Jace.
More
is
Jace.
Back. Let's go. Jace reawakened. This time he is fused with Ashiok. 2 blue for a legendary planeswalker. Jace comes in with 3 loyalty. You can't cast this spell during your first, second, or third turns of the game. You can +1 draw a card, then discard a card. +1. You may exile a non-land card with mana value 3 or less from your hand. If you do, it becomes plotted. -6. So that does the doubling season test. You could play him and ult him right away. Yeah. Until end of turn, whenever you cast a spell, copy it. You may choose new targets for the copy. Well, it's not like an emblem, but it's still good.
Yeah, it's not like a super crazy ult.
Plot a card. Like, plot a card. Oh, now I'm going to do the copy and copy all of those.
Copy whatever you're plotting.
That is Christmas, magical Christmas land right there.
Yeah. Also, it says you can't cast it during your first, second, or third turn, so if you could give it flash, you could play it on your opponent's turn.
Yeah, it's just yours.
So, Leyline of Anticipation, turn 0. Pew! And then turn 1 or 2, you can flash them in on your opponent's turn.
Mm-hmm.
That's just dirty. Love that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. He's Jace, right? Jace is always good, so.
And Ashiok.
Yeah.
I forget.
Yeah, and Ashiok.
Solid.
Yeah, yeah.
Next up, we got the Step Between Worlds. It's 3 blue-blue for a sorcery. Each player may shuffle their hand and graveyard into their library. Each player who does draws 7 cards. Exile Step Between Worlds. And you can plot it for 4 blue-blue.
Hmm. Seems pretty good. Sadly, yeah, it's not like forcing your opponents where usually you want to do like
that. It's not like a windfall or something like that.
But it's, I mean, if you could basically, so basically you either play it and you just, you know, do it yourself, or you could plot it and then just wait till you have like no cards in your hand and draw 7.
Yeah, I mean, that's nice.
You plot it and wait the next turn, then you have the mana to cast it. It's almost like Time Spiral, where you pay 6 and then untap 6 lands, so then you have the mana to cast your new 7 that you got.
Right. Well, you so could also, you don't have to cast it the next turn either. You can just let it sit there plotted until you want it.
Until you want, yeah.
Yeah, just let it sit.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. It's okay. All right. next, we got Stoic Sphinx. It is 2 blue-blue for a 5/3 Sphinx creature. Has flash, and it also has flying. Stoic Sphinx has hexproof as long as you haven't cast a spell this turn. That's interesting. Blue not casting spells?
Well, it's just you just have everything at the instant.
Yeah, you hold up Mystic Confluence on your next turn.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But it's just a beater and commander, which is not where you want.
It's like a 5/3. I mean, a 5/3 is okay.
It dies to lightning bolt.
It's gonna get bolted as long as it doesn't have hexproof.
So crappy commander card, but 10 out of 10 limited again.
Limited, super good. Yeah. Holy
crap!
That's gonna. It's gonna fly over all of your opponents, and they're gonna cry.
Even in limited, if you're holding on to cards, just sandbag it. Just have that thing have hexproof and win with that.
Yeah. Because is that just for that turn? It has hexproof, or is that like for like forever? As long as that check is made, Corey.
Yeah. So like, if I cast a spell on my turn, it loses hexproof for that turn. But then I pass turn, it now has hexproof.
Okay. So it's not okay. So it's like
so most time it's gonna have hex
check every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's that makes it better then. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely good for limited though, like or something like that.
We got the Key to the Vault, 1 and a blue for legendary artifact equipment. Has equip 2 and a blue. Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, look at that many cards from the top of your library. You may exile a non-land card from among them, put the rest on bottom of your library in random order. You may cast the exiled card without paying its mana cost.
Oh my god.
Pretty sick.
Dude.
Cast stuff for free when you hit them?
Every single combat?
So it's kind of like the Tali, the one that deals damage and triggers.
Mm-hmm. But in blue, where you have Brainstorm and you can sculpt
the top.
Deck.
Yeah.
Oops. There's
you can just play Sensei's Divine Top.
Yeah, exactly.
Sensei's Top, yep.
This is going to be pretty good.
Yep.
I like it.
Especially if you got big things to hit.
Yeah,
exactly. Hit something huge, like I don't know, Omniscience or something like that. Oh, oops! It's free. Sorry, and now everything's free.
It being an artifact's pretty sick.
Yeah, it's really
got upsides and downsides.
Obviously, yeah, can be easier to destroy because of that, but also can be made indestructible because of that. So.
My buddy was thinking about his Urza deck, sliding this in. He makes big constructs. It's an artifact.
Yeah. Tap it for mana with Urza.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. You can do that too. Yeah, that's super good. Especially for blue.
All right. Next up, we got Three Steps Ahead. It is a blue with plus, which means it has spree. So instant, the sprees are one and a blue, counter target spell, add three generic mana, create a token that's a copy of target artifact or creature you control, or add two generic mana, draw two, then discard a card.
Said it's targeting your stuff. Like, usually you want to play clones that target your opponents after they play.
You want to target other things.
Their Dockside Extortionist or whatever.
I think this gets better in, like, a blue deck where you're just playing control and you're like, all right, I'm going to counter this and then make a copy of my best thing for six mana.
Yeah.
I mean, what is Sublime Epiphany? Do you guys remember that card?
Yeah, it's six mana.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does all of this, right?
Basically.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it draws two discard a card.
It draws a card, I love it.
Draws a card, though, yeah.
Okay. I mean, but you have to pay six for Sublime Epiphany this
one. Yeah, this you have the option to, like, you play a cancel, or you could play a clone of your own thing, or you could just get it out of draw two discard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know. I think it's really high costing. So, like I said, unless you're like mono blue and want this over like Sublime Epiphany or what's the command that is similar?
Cryptic
Command.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's very similar to that too.
If you want another one of those type of modal things, then maybe. But
if you're running Spellseeker, another target. Yeah,
you can hit it with Spellseeker.
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. I do like the modal, flexibility of it, but you are definitely sacrificing, the flexibility for, like, what you're casting. Because, like, you'll be casting the equivalent of, like, a cancel, which is not the best counter spell. Or, a forecast clone, which is not the best clone. You know, it's kind of like you have the flexibility, but you're paying for the things that are like the more mediocre version of what you're playing, basically, which is kind of interesting. So it's, I don't know. It's kind of, is that worth this, basically? Yeah. The flexibility. Is it worth that flexibility? I think it might be.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It's
because
it's
flexibility is good.
Being flexible is really important.
There's so many times where you just have a dead card in your hand and you just hate your life, whereas this will be able to do many things, and it's less likely for it to be just a card that's sitting. So, I think it's okay.
Cool.
And with that, we are done with blue, and we are on to black. And I believe it's my turn, right?
Yep.
So, our first black card is Caustic Bronco. It is two and a black for a 2/2 Snake Horse Mount creature.
It's interesting.
That's a combo. Hey. Whenever Caustic Bronco attacks, reveal the top card of your library and put it into your hand. You lose life equal to that card's mana value if it isn't saddled. Otherwise, each opponent loses that much life. And it's saddle three. That's kind of cool.
All right, I'm going to send my guy in to ride on a snake horse.
Some interesting art.
Yeah.
No, man.
It kind of reminds me of a Nazgul almost. It's kind of creepy.
It's a snake horse.
Are all saddled creatures 2/2? Because like that?
No, they're not.
Well, like one was 2/4, I think.
Okay, yeah, the white one was. That's right, yeah. That's right.
There's a lot of uncommon ones with different stat lines too.
The 2/2 hurts a lot, but the effect's powerful. It's a two drop.
It's super
basically like a bob.
Yeah,
it's like a bob, but then
it's on attack trigger too. Like, it's not like you have to hit him. Okay.
True. Mm-hmm. True.
So, but if you could saddle, you could. I mean, you could rip off like a six drop and hit everybody for six.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Honestly,
I mean, brainstorm again or Sensei's Divine Top.
Find something better. I'm gonna pull up. Opponent. Oh, look, I got this five drop. Everybody takes five and play Kikucho.
That's awesome.
God, like, yeah, This can be really good, especially if it's set up like that.
It's also good, like, if you just get it right away at the beginning of the game and just keep attacking for two at somebody, just to draw cards. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You need to get that three power out the following turn for sure. But if your commander's like that.
Yeah, a lot of commanders are around that power, so you probably be able to get that.
Play this on turn two, play Timna on turn three.
Yep.
And then you just go to town, baby.
Go to town.
Yeah, I like this card. This card's cool.
All right, it wouldn't be a set with Garrosh if there wasn't Geesa, the Hellraiser. 3BB for 4/4 human warlock. Legendary, of course. It's got Ward 2 and also Pay 2 Life. Love skeletons, it. Corey, and zombies you control get +1/+1 and have Menace. Whenever you commit a crime, create 2 tapped 2/2 blue and black zombie rogue creature tokens. This ability triggers only once each turn.
The claws.
It would be broken.
It would be so busted otherwise.
It still, seems
still really good. You get 2/2. Super well, basically good, 3/3s of Menace.
Yeah.
This is out. Mm-hmm.
That's super awesome. Yeah, that's why it costs 5.
Yeah, 5 is kind of a bit, but pretty
but
sick.
But that's a very, very powerful effect. This is a huge engine. And it also buffs your board. I'm assuming you're going to be playing skeletons or zombies with this. So super good for that.
It's really hard if you just put this as your commander. I don't know. You're stuck in mono black. You're trying to put like commit crime and like do some things. I think this is way better in the 99 of like some 3-color zombie deck that you just.
Yeah. Or just like the blue black. I think there is a Geesa and Garrosh commander that's blue black.
Yeah. So. Yep.
Yeah, it works perfect for that, for sure.
Yeah, better in the 99, I think. I don't think you want to try to like jump the hoops of being mono black.
I mean, you could. You just have to play a lot of like kill spells and stuff that commit crimes, but...
Yeah.
She's cool.
Yep, I like it.
Next up, we got the Insatiable Avarice.
Insatiable Avarice. Insatiable.
All right, so it's a black. It's a spree. So the first one is add 2 colorless or 2 generic mana. Search your library for a card, then put it on top. And add black. Target player draws 3 cards and loses 3 life. So for 3 mana, you can tutor a card to the top. Mm-hmm. Or for 3 mana, you can draw 3, lose 3. Or for 2/4/5 mana, you can do both. Put a card on top, draw it along with 2 others, and lose 3.
Right, yeah. You draw the card, you tutor, because I think it resolves.
You
top
tutor,
bottom.
And then you draw it. And along
unless you're targeting card. Not yourself, but.
Yeah. Usually you're targeting yourself in this case.
It's pretty good. It's a nice flexible card.
Yeah, another flexible card.
More tutors for Commander. No. I mean, nobody played Cruel Tutor anyway. The OG 3 mana, search your library for a card, put on top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this.
I mean, this is the buyout of draw 3. So.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're like, okay, tutor a card on top. That's a little slow, especially at sorcery speed. It's not an instant.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you're like, all right, let me just draw 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, I feel like I would play that mode more than the other mode. Just draw 3, lose 3.
Yeah. I feel like especially that is black, the like better one, especially in black.
Well, yeah. Usually, yeah, you want to draw more cards, but if you have one piece of your combo, you're like, oh, right. I just need one more card to combo off.
Yeah.
So being flexible is good. We'll see how it plays. It's definitely not as good as the other tutors, like... I'd be playing Demonic Tutor Vamp way over this, but.
Yeah, Demonic Tutor is way better.
we'll see how it plays. It could be up there in the ranks, but.
Yeah, it's definitely
better tutors.
Again, the flexibility helps for sure. All right, our next card we got is Karavek, the Punisher. It is 1 black for a 3/3 legendary human warlock creature. Whenever you commit a crime, exile up to one target black card from your graveyard and copy it. You may cast the copy. If you do, you lose 2 life.
So this one doesn't have the once per turn clause.
Nope. You can do this as much as you want.
But as long as you have black cards in your graveyard.
In your graveyard. Yeah, that's the big thing. Does Painter Servant target your graveyard?
No. I don't think so. I think
it's just cards in play.
Yeah.
All cards that aren't in play, spells, and permanents are the chosen color in addition
to Oh, permanent. You mean just to make your stuff in your graveyard black?
All black. Sounds outrageous, right? Lands black?
What? Exile it, copy it. Well, you can't cast the land, though. So
one card you may cast. No, my dream.
Land and just putting into play.
You can hit all the other creatures and stuff.
Yeah, or artifacts, or any painter's servants broken in general. But
yeah, it's just a broken card. Period. it's pretty good. Card. I'd say. Yeah, yeah.
You're committing crime just normally throughout the course of the game, so.
Yeah,
I have Demonic Tutor. It goes into my graveyard. Commit a crime real quick. Demonic Tutor again.
Yeah, I mean, just like, you cast a kill spell, and then like you just have a different spell in your graveyard that you copy. So,
yeah, another kill spell or a damage dealing spell or a bring back or reanimate
strip
spell.
Mine. Like. Everyone runs Strip Mine.
Strip Mine. Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing is if your deck is just a bunch of kill spells, like you could kill spell. Trigger another kill spell. Oh, I committed another crime. Do another kill spell. Oh, I did another crime. You could kill the whole board.
Chains,
as long as you have enough stuff in your graveyard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Start chaining them, yeah. Some sort of swarm mana. Deck.
That's why he's in there just burning down the whole house.
But, yeah, he's literally just burning the house down. Love it. That's awesome. That's a cool card. I like this one.
All right. We got the Pitiless Carnage. 3 and a black for a sorcery. Sacrifice any number of permanents you control. Then draw that many cards. You can plot this for 1 black. Tokens? Aristocrats?
Mm-hmm.
This seems good.
Super.
But if you have that 2 drop, that's like whenever you sacrifice a permanent, it gets a +1/+1 counter. You just sack your board. Make that thing huge. Or, like Korvold, isn't it whenever you sack, it gets bigger and you draw a card?
Yeah, you run him.
He's drawing double cards with this.
Oh.
That's broken. Permanents, treasure tokens are permanents.
Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds disgusting.
Just a little bit. Yeah, super good.
It's a Richard King Ferguson art. Always a blast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. It's so cool.
All right. Next up, we got the Rush of Dread. It is 1 blacks with a spree. So it's 3 mana plus 1 mana. Target opponent sacrifices half the creatures they control rounded up. Plus 2 mana. Target opponent discards half the cards in their hand rounded up. Plus 2 mana, target opponent loses half their life rounded up.
Oh.
So the sack half their creatures for 4 is pretty good, and the lose half their life for 5 is pretty good.
Right.
Especially if you have the combo thing where if they lose life, you gain life, and then the other one, you just win.
Right.
Yeah. Or Wounded Reflection.
Yeah, Wound Reflection. They lose life, you get life, and loss.
Yeah, if you're running that card, why not run this one?
Yeah, it was a Sanguine Bond. There's a couple of cards that do that. Yeah. That's a lot of dealing half of things.
I think it's mostly the loses half their life rounded up is the best one.
That is the best one, yes.
Or what if you just pay 8?
Mm-hmm.
And then you target a different opponent with each effect. Oh, it's when they hate you.
Yeah. That'd be hilarious. Yeah. Like, okay, you got the biggest board, half your creatures.
Yeah, you got the biggest life. Ton
of cards in your hand. Yeah. Get rid of half your hand. You have like 80 life. Fuck you. Half that. Yeah, like this could be pretty powerful, honestly. It'll do a lot. Especially if you got the mana.
It's okay. It does cost a lot. Like, I think it's better if you have a combo with it.
Yeah, you need.
Yeah, it's really wanting a combo for sure. Like, with a combo, this card is really, really good. All right. Our next card is Tiny Bones Joins Up. It is a black for a legendary enchantment. When Tiny Bones Joins Up enters the battlefield, any number of target players each discard a card. Whenever a legendary creature enters the battlefield under your control, any number of target players each mill a card and lose one life.
So just giving all of your stuff to be Tiny Bones?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's good for one black.
Yeah, really good for one.
Need to be a legendary, like have a lot of legendaries.
Yeah, it's really like a legendary mana.
I mean, even if you don't, right? You just play like a discard deck, like one mana, discard three cards. It's pretty good. For just your opponents.
Yeah. What's a legendary we can
keep? Plus, you have your commander, so like Turgrid.
You always have that. Yeah.
Yeah, Turgrid. Trying to think of a recurring legendary creature.
I'm sure there's something, I'm sure.
There's got to be something out there.
There's a lot of stuff, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. There's so many legendary creatures nowadays.
Well, of course, don't forget about the partner decks, too, so you have two then.
Ooh. That is nice.
Yeah.
Good call there.
So, yeah, I feel like, yeah, this could definitely have, I mean, just in general, you can definitely trigger this a little bit. Like, it won't be a lot, but it is only one mana, so.
I think if you want to also mill yourself, I mean, of course, yeah, you want to see your graveyard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I mean, or if you're playing, like, Madness and want to make yourself discard.
Or may I be forcing yourself to discard, yep. It's like, oh, pay one, I can play my Madness card for, like, nothing. Hey, oh good. Yeah, right, I think this can definitely combo really well.
We got Tiny Bones himself, the pickpocket, for one black. 1/1 legendary skeleton rogue with death touch. Whenever he deals combat damage to a player, you may cast target non-land permanent card from that player's graveyard, and any mana of any type can be spent to cast that spell.
Oh, cool. All right.
So you killed the old big Tiny thing, Bones,
and then you just bring it back.
The old Tiny Bones cost two. The new one had to make them better because only one.
Yeah. It's one is really good.
1/1 death touch. He's a skeleton.
Yep.
Obviously, he has to deal combat damage, and he's only a 1/1, so you gotta work with that. But
it doesn't have death touch, so they probably don't want to block it.
They're probably not going to want to block it.
But still, any sort of chump will block it. We'll kill it.
Yeah, so you're not going to get that effect. But that effect is like, pretty nice.
It's nice, but yeah, you slam this on turn one. Turn two, I attack. What do they have in their graveyard?
Probably nothing. Yeah. It's nothing that's good. Yeah, this is... Oh. And then the thing is, if you jam it later, they're going to have
like
a whole...
More of a card, like if this is like your commander, you play it on like turn two, hoping that they like, or if you went like last, you played it your turn two, hope they like ramp and then you can copy their ramp spell or something.
Ramp spell.
Yeah.
That you play Tiny Bones joins up first, they discard a card.
Right. Yeah. The combo.
So, probably better in the 99. I don't know. Of Tiny Bones OG.
Yeah,
for sure.
Next up, we got Vladimir, New Blood. 1/1 for a 2/2 legendary creature, vampire rogue. Whenever you commit a crime, put a 1/1 counter on him. This ability triggers only once each turn. As long as four or more 1/1 counters on it, it has menace and lifelink.
Ooh.
So 2/2 that eventually becomes a 6/6 menace lifelink if it sticks around.
But again, committing crimes and magic is not hard. So, yeah, that can be pretty good.
It's a vampire, yes, but I don't really see it in Commander that much. Like, another limited all-star, but not going to be...
Limited,
I think it'd be, it could be okay in, like, Edgar, because it's a two-drop
vampire. Yeah, you want cheap vampires.
Yeah, you want cheap vampires in there. And there's a lot of other stuff that puts 1/1 counters on stuff in that deck.
That's so true. Get
this up to
right.
So you'll get up to that faster, and then he just gets bigger and better.
You can do it the lawful way. The lifelink
is really nice.
Yeah.
He's okay. Pick him up in limited.
Yeah. Good for that. All right. That's black.
Should we do segments?
Segment. Is it segment time?
Bum, 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 bum.
All right. Well, Cody's crazy card this week is the card that they gave you on April Fool's Day. If you logged into Arena, they gave you like 6 to 8 copies of it for free. It's 1/0. It costs 1 black for an instant. You discard your hand. It's a terrible card, and people have been trying to make it work since 2005, and I still have not seen someone pull it off.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, it's like Lion's Eye Diamond. It's like, yeah, but that's free. So.
And that gives you mana. This just.
Yeah, and you get mana.
What is that blue enchantment that makes everybody cast the same spell?
That could be okay.
And then everybody has to cast
one. Yeah, everyone has to cast it.
Oh, jeez. So everyone just discards their hand at the same time?
I mean, you do too, but you made everyone else.
You're spreading the pain to the table. That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah, so the challenge to all the listeners is make this card work.
True.
Yeah.
Let's see it.
Legit.
Madness? No. All right, we'll do my jank combo. Guys, ready for this? This is a 2-card combo. You win the game again.
What?
Oh, boy.
All right, everybody's favorite, Lethal Vapors. It's 2 black-black for an enchantment. Whenever a creature comes into play, destroy it. Then you can have, has an activated ability for 0. Destroy Lethal Vapors. You skip your next turn. But any player may play this ability. So if you're like, oh man, all my creatures are going to die when they come in. It's like, fine, all right, I'll skip my next turn. You're welcome, playgroup. And then now I can play my creatures the following turn. Super fun card everyone loves, but it's a 0 mana activated ability. That means you can stack this thing. Mm-hmm. Say, I wanted to do this 50 million times again. So we all love doing that. I stack it, and then on the end of it, I cast Teferi's Protection. Teferi's Protection says, until your next turn, your life total can't change, and you may have protection from everything, and all permanents you control phase out. Well, it specifically says until your next turn. I just skipped 50,000 turns. My next turn is going to be a long time from now. So I'm phased out. Everyone's drawing, playing their game, until everyone decks themselves because they can't kill me and they're still in the game. And I win the game by sitting and doing nothing.
Unless they have like a questing beast.
There are some ways to die around Teferi's Protection, yes, but very slim.
It's not just perfect, in the background
and watch everybody
else. You're just like, oh, yes.
Yeah, you're just like, hey, I'm going to go get something to eat, guys. I'm going to activate this combo.
Have a good game, but I win. Bye.
Let me know if you have a way to make me lose.
Yeah. Oh, that's so stupid. My God.
It's pretty stupid.
That is why it's jank.
This is pretty jank.
All right. My jungle card this week is a Selesnya classic. It is Voice of Resurgence. It is Selesnya, green white, for a 2/2 elemental creature. Whenever an opponent casts a spell during your turn or when this dies, create a green and white elemental creature token with this creature's power and toughness are equal to the number of creatures you control. So, yeah, this is as long as they cast spells, which, I mean, this is magic. People have to cast spells. I mean, it's just kind of how the game works. You're pretty much guaranteed to at least get a couple each turn, and it's just going to snowball, basically. Each one gets bigger than the last because it's based on the total power you have on the field. So, or total number of creatures you have on the field, rather. So it's just going to naturally get bigger, and especially if you have a board to begin with, then this just gets even better. So, but it's a fine turn two play too. Like, to be honest, like, it's great for either, like, it's a good early gameplay, but it's also like an even better late gameplay. Like, especially if you have a board, like in that case, it's more of a win more, but yeah, even if you just play it in the beginning of the game, like, it's an engine on its own. You just basically let it sit there and let your opponents play the game, and it just makes your board big.
It's more like anti-counterspell. It's like, oh, you could counterspell me, but I'm going to get a dude now.
Yeah, and that too, right? It's like, yeah, counter war, I dare you.
Yeah.
Boo, 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 boo. It's like you have like five creatures all of a sudden that are huge. But yeah, really cool card. Kind of a classic, but
yep.
Yeah, very. It's still very, very much quite relevant, and it is very powerful on its own.
Yeah. He has been in Vintage Cube some seasons.
Mm-hmm. For a good reason.
Yeah, for good reason.
All right. I believe it's my turn. We are under red now. Ah, my nose is itching. Ah. So we have Calamity Galloping Inferno. It is 4RR for a 4/6 legendary horse mount creature. It has haste. Whenever this attacks while saddled, choose a non-legendary creature that saddled it this turn and create a tapped and attacking token that's a copy of it. Sacrifice that token at the beginning of the next end step. Repeat this process once, and then it has saddle one.
So pretty much any non-legendary, you're going to get two copies to have to attack it.
That's pretty good. Like, this is a bit, it does cost six, but that's a pretty good effect though, right? And it only, basically anything can tap to do it too. It's saddle one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice. If it's like your Lelia that's a little bit too weak to attack into boards, you create a token copy of it that can just go in and get your attack trigger off, or like your original Atali attack triggers off.
Yeah,
OG. Without having to sacrifice it going into battle.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just get two Infernal Titans.
Literally. I mean, the first one you saddle will not be getting the attack trigger.
Right, but then you get the two tokens tapped and attacking that you get the ETB. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you repeat this process once. Okay,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah, you repeat it.
Six damage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. I like it.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good card. Like I said, a little pricey, but
that's
good. That's especially depending on what creature you got. Like, yeah, if it's like an Infernal Titan or something like that, like, that's really good. that's a good combo for sure.
Yeah. All right, the Great Train Heist. 1+.
Is this Firefly?
That was the train job.
Close enough.
So you can +2 in a red, untap all creatures you control. If it's your combat phase, there's an additional combat phase after this phase. +2, creatures you control get +1/+0 and gain first strike until end of turn. And plus red, choose target opponent. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to that player this turn, create a tapped treasure token. That seems kind of fun.
Four mana additional combat is probably the most likely.
That's pretty good, yeah.
If you have a go-wide board, you could just be like, 2 mana, make a bunch of treasure.
Yep. Combat trick if you want first strike. Like, come on.
Yep, not bad. Honestly, pretty cheap for that, too, for all creatures. Like, that's not bad, honestly. A lot of times it's like a singular one, but this is your board.
Or for 7, you could do all of it.
Yeah, which is honestly not terrible. That would be a lot of stuff.
So at instant speed, you attack with everything, and they block, thinking they have good trades. You cast this instantly, you get first strike, and then you get another attack phase after this.
And everything that they didn't block, you're going to get treasures on, and you get to attack again and make more treasures.
Seems pretty sick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
That's a pretty good card. I like that.
Next up, we got Hellspur Posse Boss. This 2 red for a 2/4 lizard rogue creature. Other outlaws you control have haste, which is assassin, mercenary, pirate, rogue, and warlock. When it enters the battlefield, create 2/1/1 red mercenary creature tokens that have tap. Turn creature you control gets +1/+0 until end of turn. Activate as a sorcery. It's pretty good. And all of the mercenary tokens you create in this set have that ability. So
that's actually kind of sick. Because like that stacks.
Yep.
So you can just make something.
Because like, normally you get a bunch of 1/1s. You know, sometimes you get stalled out. Like, oh, I can't swing into their 8/8. Well, or you can just tap all these 1/1s that are sitting around to buff something that can attack them.
It's pretty flavorful too. Like his goons are helping him out. Like
get him. They're doing.
Yeah, he gives any other outlaws haste too, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good.
I don't know. I don't really see it in Commander. Maybe the haste part is good in the tribe or typal type decks, but I don't know. This seems like a limited card to me, which is going to be a bomb in limited again.
Super bomb, yeah, for sure.
For 3 creatures for 4 mana.
Yeah, I mean, unless you want to try to make an outlaw deck, you might put this in there.
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty good for that.
I don't know how many outlaws exist otherwise. And only this set is going to have cards that care about all outlaws getting abilities. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one might be a little hard to do. Change lanes, of course, but
yeah, it's always a thing.
Yeah. In this, in like the 99 of your pirate deck, could be there, maybe.
Yeah, perhaps. Very interesting, though. Very interesting. All right, up next we have Hell to Pay. It is X red. Good old classic cost there for a sorcery. Hell to Pay deals X damage to target creature. Create a number of tapped treasure tokens equal to the amount of excess damage dealt to that creature this way. So basically, you're getting refunded what you tapped, which is interesting,
I guess. What you overpaid, yeah.
Yeah, what you overpay.
Which you would purposely do, like, I want to save this mana, like,
Right, like I want this mana for next turn to play something that costs twice as much.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if you want to like use the treasure tokens for something else, which is a thing too, I guess. There's decks that do that. Yeah, artifacts. Yeah, interesting card. It's a shame it's only creature. Again, it can't be, you know, player or planeswalker or something like that. Like Blaze or some of those other ones, but you know, the other good old 1X cards that are out there. But
yeah, it's
interesting. Yeah, interesting interaction with the treasure token, but outside of that, it's like, it's okay, I guess.
No, it's
nothing to run home about.
I'd I don't know. I've run a big mana mono red deck where if this is my only way to ramp, this seems pretty good. Play Kumano Master Yamabushi, where it's just as much mana as I can.
Or if you're playing, what's the guy? Is it Torolf, the excess damage guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's definitely decks that.
That, like, after you excess damage, you, like, get to hit something else. And so, like, you, you get the treasures that keep killing everything.
That would be an interesting interaction, definitely.
It might be good in some certain decks, but other than that, probably not going to be.
Yeah, pretty niche. Niche outliers.
All right, Megda's back. The Horde Master. One in a red for a 2/2 legendary dwarf berserker. Whenever you commit a crime, create a tapped treasure token. This ability only triggers once each turn. Sacrifice 3 treasures. Create a 4/4 red scorpion dragon creature token with flying and haste. Activate only as a sorcery.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm just going to put this in the Magnet of Corvo. Another outlet for my treasures that makes me 4/4 flyers with haste.
Yeah, that seems really good.
I mean, the first Megda does that, like 5 treasures and you get a search
you library. Search for a dragon and put it in your hand.
Or an artifact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one just makes or dragons.
Play, I don't remember, but...
yeah, put it in play.
But this just makes 4/4s.
Scorpion?
Yeah.
Scorpion, dragon.
Just dragon.
Yeah, it's a dragon.
All these scorpions there are.
Yeah.
That's not really a thing.
And you'll condensely get some treasures off of committing crimes because you'll just do that throughout the course of the game. So.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And also in limited, I know in the packs you get at least one crime card in each pack. They're like as the newspaper, something happened, a crime.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the wanted.
Yeah, wanted
there's
poster.
At least one wanted card in every pack, I believe. So there's going to be crimes being committed in limited if you're worried about that.
Heck yeah.
All right, next up we got Slickshot Showoff. It's one in a red for a 1/2 bird wizard. With flying and haste, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, it gets +2/+0 until end of turn. It has plot for one in a red.
All right.
Yep. Storing up for that one big plotted turn in limited, and you just...
you just go off.
Yeah, because I feel like if you're not playing in limited, like, you're better off just playing it out. And then...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, give it letting them, like, just whatever, get in for one, and then... If, cast all your stuff the next turn anyway. As long as they see it coming and they can just hold up a counter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And commander beaters just aren't there. Just doing damage isn't really like, yeah, it's got evasion, but.
Right. Like, I think it's going to be good at, you know, red deck wins or red blue.
Yeah. More standard. More
standard or limited.
60 card limited. Not commander.
Yeah, I feel like Commander, this is going to be pretty hard to really get some traction for you. It's probably a little too weak, sadly.
I mean, I see Ice Chrom Scepter, Dramatic Reversal. You just cast unlimited spells or that over and over. He's super big, but at that point you have unlimited mana. It's like, why can't
I like, again, you're better. Probably going to do something better with your limited mana, right? Just dealing +2/+2/+2 or whatever.
Yeah.
No, you're probably winning the game. If not, you're doing it wrong, but, you know. Our next card, we have Stingerback Terror. It is 2 red for a 7/7 scorpion dragon creature. It has flying and trample. Stingerback Terror gets -1/-1 for each card in your hand. But and it also has plot 3. But again, this is red.
Yeah.
Red doesn't have cards in hand ever.
When you have cards.
Or you just plot it for when you don't have cards in your hand and you jam it for even less. Which is even better, honestly. Three for a 7/7? Hello?
Either way, you could get it down on turn 4.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so turn 3 you just plot this, and turn 4 you play it down. Like, even if you have, you know, 3 cards in your hand still, you still have a 4/4 flying trample.
Yeah, I mean, that's still pretty freaking good. Like the dream scenario where you're able to like dump your hand and then you're able to play this afterwards and you have a freaking 7/7 flyer. With trample. Hey, holy hell. That's a powerhouse card.
You don't need to be in mono red and dump your hand. You just need to combo off with the powerful card, one with nothing. Good. Good.
That fucking card. Oh my just god. Your hand. Hey, you got a 7/7 turn three, guys. Oh god.
Eaters aren't that good in Commander. I don't see him as Commander, but this is probably going to be a standard powerhouse 60 card deck powerhouse.
Super good for standard, like, constructive. Yeah. This seems limited. Really good. Super good for limited. Yeah. Oh my god. This is crazy powerful. Like if you always pull this if you see it. Like always.
Oh yeah.
This is good. And that's red. Red was pretty good, honestly. It had some good stuff.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. All right, we are on to green.
We got Bristly Bill, the Spine Sower. One and a green for a 2/2 legendary plant druid. It's got landfall. So whenever land enters the battlefield under control, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. It's nice. And activate ability, 3 green, green. Double the number of +1/+1 counters on each creature you control.
Ooh.
It's a plant druid, so I can make plant tribal.
There's a whole commander deck filled of cactus eye.
There we go. Interesting card.
Cactus. Cacti. This is cactus.
I mean,
that seems busted. Yeah, that seems.
It does seem really good. 5 seems like a lot to double your +1/+1 counters. Like, especially since you can literally just pay 5 and just play Dublin Season.
Yeah.
But
every single turn.
Yeah, but you can do it every turn. And this is honestly.
If you have Dublin Season out and you pay the 5, you get.
Exactly. Like, this with Dublin Season, oh my god. Literally quadruple your counters. That's pretty good.
Landfall, cast Awake in the Woods, just a bunch of lands. +1/+1 counters on all of those creatures. Double them.
Yeah, I feel like this. Yeah, it's really cheap, and it honestly does quite a lot. It has some good abilities. Yeah. Yeah. This will do work easily.
Next up, we got the Colossal Rattle Worm. 2. Green, green for a 6/5 creature worm. It has flash if you control a desert. It has trample. It has pay 1 and a green. You can exile it from your graveyard to search for a desert card and put it on the battlefield tapped.
So deserts are a thing again?
Yeah, they made desert lands again.
Yeah, they're common tapped dual color lands.
Yeah, they're like the gain life lands, but instead its target opponent loses 1 life, so you commit a crime when you play it.
Oh. That's kind of cool. Both
commit the crime and get the dual land in a desert. All unlimited.
Mm-hmm. All in one.
Is this a 4 mana craw worm?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Holy crap. Has magic gone crazy?
That's good for 4 mana.
It's a 4 mana 6/5. Let's go.
And it might have flash and it has trample. Like,
and if it dies, you can get a desert.
Yeah.
Ramp.
Really?
Ramp and a creature too? Like, this does so much, dude.
This is 2024, people.
Green's not messing around. No. Yeah, that's a lot. Like, in one, honestly. That's just, what more do you want?
Yeah. My Timmy Dang inside has me trample. Is loving it.
You can play it whenever you want, and it ramps. Like, can't complain. All right. Next up, we have 3 Strider Lookout. It is 2 and a green for a 3/3 human rogue creature. It has reach. Whenever you commit a crime, look at the top 5 cards of your library. You may put a land card from among them onto the battlefield tapped.
Yep.
Put the rest of the bottom of your library in a random order. This ability triggers once each turn.
I mean, of still. It's like
but still.
Free mini rampant growth. Thing. mm-hmm. whenever you commit a crime.
Top five, you're going to hit the land.
You probably you're going to be land. Super unlucky if you don't.
You're playing in like limited or even like 60s. Like that's some good information. Knowing the top five, whatever that's going to be on bottom, right. that you're not going
to. I mean, even a commander, you're probably going to hit a land most of the time.
Yeah, you're going to hit a land. But I'm saying like the information of like knowing that those four are on bottom and I'm not going to draw them, which is could be pretty big. Especially if you keep repeating this and you remember and not shuffle your deck, that could be.
I like all the weapons they have in this set too. They all like have like the yellow thing. Like,
they're kind of cool. They're very cool
looking. Automatic crossbow looking thing, energy crossbow. Mm-hmm.
You get that like energy from the mines. My grandpappy has been getting that energy. All right, we got the Gold Vein Hydra. This is if you go mine that stuff, that's what you're going to run into. The X and a green 00 Hydra, vigilance, trample, haste. He enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it.
Yeah, I'm going to Hydra,
and when he dies, create a number of tapped treasure tokens equal to his power.
Oh, dude! So you get it back.
This is a Hydra, man.
That's amazing.
This is a Hydra.
That's amazing. Because there's so many times where, like, if they kill your Hydra, you're sad because you paid all your mana for it normally. It's like, oh, yeah, you get your treasure back. That's nice. Vigilance, trample, and haste. Hello? That's a lot of keywords.
Yeah, you just swing with it right away.
And it's going to hit, probably.
It will most likely.
So what are you happy with this being? Like, would you pay 4 for X?
Yeah, it's ball of lightning.
Four is fine. Yeah.
Ball of lightning. Honestly,
would you pay 2? Would you make it a 2/2?
I mean, on turn 3, if there's nothing else going on, I think so.
I think it, 3 it, or 4 is probably the magic number.
The flexibility of it just
makes obviously when you get to like 5+, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really want it to be like around a 5/5 probably. That's generally like the magic, you know. It's going to stick around. It's not going to get killed easily. It'll be able to trample through their shit, you know, whatever. Or it'll be able to block their shit.
The flavor text. The key is to slay it before it sprouts so many heads that your fear outpaces your greed.
So you play this for like 4. It swings in. It dies. You get 4 tap treasures. The next turn, you play an even bigger Hydra for like 8 with all that trap swing in.
Or in constructed, you play this and then it gets killed, then you play a bigger one.
Yeah, like a better one. Oh, you thought that one was good. Here's his big brother.
Yup.
I like this. I like this a lot.
Yeah, seems good.
Next up, we got the Ornery Tumblewag. It's a 2 and a green for a 2/2 Brushwag mount. Brushwag's back. At the beginning of combat on your turn, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. Whenever Ornery Tumblewag attacks while saddled, double the number of +1/+1 counters on target creature, and it has saddle too.
Nice.
So, like worst case, it sits out there putting 1/1s on something.
Yeah. I like how it doesn't have to target itself. That's cool.
Yeah, it can target anything, which is super good.
It's pretty good.
Literally anything. Yep. It's a card like that. All right. Next up, we have Outcaster Trailblazer. It is 2 and a green for a 4/2 human druid creature. When this enters the battlefield, add 1 mana of any color. Whenever another creature with power 4 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. And it has plot 3. So 2 green. It's literally the same cost, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so you can just add a mana, basically, for that turn.
Yeah, that's adding the mana is kind of cool, honestly. I mean, it only does it once, which is, you know, fine, but it's like not like amazing. But
is that,
it's a cool little effect.
4 mana, like, beast or creature that you could pay 2 to bounce a creature back to your hand. I don't know. Playing this to add the mana, it counts the 1, but you still need to pay extra. I don't know. I'm trying to get some combos. Earthcraft there. You're tapping, you're bouncing.
I mean, you have the, what is it, Colossal Majesty or whatever, power 4 or greater on a creature as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Draw cards.
Yeah, yeah.
My buddy plays Omnoth, the angry one, green, red, landfall, you make a 5/5. So, like, those are, every time you play a land, you get a 5/5, you draw a card.
Yep.
Play another land, get a 5/5, draw cards. Seems good.
Interesting. Very.
All right. We got the Railway Brawler. 3 green-green for a 5/5 Rhino Warrior with Reach and Trample. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, put X +1/+1 counters on it, where X is his power. It's got plot for 3 green.
Dear Lord, dude. You literally double your shit?
This seems nuts.
That's a crazy card.
I used to play... let's see this wrong. Sigil Captain, 1 green-white-white. Whenever creature enters the battlefield under control, if it was a 1/1, put 2 +1/+1 counters on it. That thing like did work in my token thing, but
yeah,
this is like
this is anything though.
Just play anything. Some big stuff, and they're going to be even bigger.
Yeah, you play your freaking like I don't know, like that 4-cost 7/7. Oh, it's a 14/14 now.
Yeah. Your hydras. Like,
yeah, hydras, they're bigger.
Kind of makes you want to make like a wild pair deck with this. You play this, and then you get the other creature with the same total power toughness, and then it's doubled.
Oh, yeah. Pretty
good.
It's kind of like an planning early overrun. I mean, like, that's a lot of counters, dude. That's,
yeah.
That's crazy. This was like Lurking Predators or something, where you just hits the field. And then it's big. It's double.
I love Lurking Predators.
Uh huh. Yeah, it's a god. Yeah, because who doesn't like free creatures? How about free creatures that are double power?
That needs to be a James the Jungle one of these days, dude.
Yeah, this is pretty good. I will be probably getting this card, and I have a feeling this is gonna perform very well.
Yeah. Plus, it's a sweet Rhino.
Yeah. This art is awesome too, by the way. Like, I love this. Yeah. Reach Trample too. Like, it has reach too, so it blocks flyers, which is also very good.
Yeah.
Yep. Like it a lot. Super good.
Next up, we got the Smuggler Surprise. It's 1 green with Spree. It has instant. So for 2 more mana, you can mill 4 cards. You may put up to 2 creature and/or land cards from among the milled cards into your hand. For 4 and a green, you may put 2 creature cards from your hand onto the battlefield. And for an extra 1, creatures you control power 4 or greater gain hexproof and indestructible.
So you literally have a heroic invention, which is pretty good.
For your big stuff.
4 or greater, yeah.
But I think it's all that green-green for 4, 6 mana, put 2 creature cards from your hand on the battlefield.
So it's like the tooth and nail kind of?
Yeah, it's more or less a tooth and nail.
You don't get a tutor, but if you have the Troxa in hand...
Well, it's like an unentwined tooth and nail.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a show and tell, but more mana.
Double show and tell. Or you could possibly get 2 creatures and then just play it.
Yeah,
if you could pay the, you know, what is that, 6, 7, 8 mana?
8 mana, which almost is a tooth and nail at that point.
Which the first part, mill 4 cards, put up to 2 creature and/or land cards from among the milled cards in your hand. That's digging for them. That's finding something.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah,
like it's the not flexibility bad. Of it.
Yeah,
it's early game. You can use it just to get land or cards in your hand, like card draw, basically. Late game, you could just jam some creatures out or save some stuff from dying.
It's the Trojan horse.
Yeah.
It's Trojan horse, baby. Those Trojans are coming. Yeah, sick card, honestly. Again, you know, it's the flexibility. That's what these are all about. And yeah, honestly, all modes can really have their place. Well, and that is the end of the Wooburg Circle for this set. And that is as far as we're going to go today.
Yeah, so again, you can, if you want to buy any of these cards, use our TCG Player affiliate link in the show notes. Thanks for watching. Tell your friends, check it out.
Have a good one. We'll be right back.